Welcome back to Brass Tax. This is Sankey Price with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. 434-1790 is the number to call, although you can't get through right now because all the lines are lit up. And 266-4862, that is our number here on the WhatsApp. And I was dealing with a call just now. And sir, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Good, thank you very much.
Yeah,
you
I'll be as brief as possible.
It's all right, sir. Make your point.
Yeah, I am concerned with insurance companies in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Motor car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They take your money, but when it's time to make a claim to that insurance, they prolong the issue and they don't pay you and they keep you holding on for months and months and months. Because when they go through the courts, it takes years to get the matter solved. So I believe a separate entity or legal body should be set up to deal with insurance companies when the delinquency in terms of persons making claims to that insurance company and insurance companies fail to honor the claim.
Sir, what you have raised just now is an issue that so many people are upset about in this country, and it's a very valid issue. And I would really like to have insurers here maybe on a Sunday Brass Tax to explain why they behave in this way. You know, the thing about it is a point I always made, when you look at the quality of buildings that these insurance companies manage to build and whatnot, that they occupy, you realize that they must be making money. So how come they take so long to pay out something that is quite obvious? And while they're delaying payment for whatever technical reason that's going on, somebody is suffering, or somebodies are suffering.
Well, I have one of them suffering. I had an accident on the 6th of December. And after today, the insurance company that's supposed to be paying me out is finding difficulty to even answer the phone. They asked them, don't call them. Don't call them no more, and things of that nature. Refuse to take a call from my lawyer, it's ridiculous.
All right, hold a second. Now, let's go through this one bit by bit. You were involved in an accident in December 6th. Were the police summoned?
Yeah, the police summoned, but we got a police report came.
Good. That's the first problem. Okay? That's the first problem. But the report has been made to the police. I take it then that you were the victim. You were the person in the right.
I was on the street. A car came out in front of me. From a car park.
Okay. But the person has admitted liability?
But his insurance company wants me to cover party costs of fixing my car. I never hear anything.
Yeah, but you know that there is, I can't remember what the term is now, but it's up to a certain amount that, before I say that, let me understand you correctly. Just answer me. Has this person accepted liability?
The person told his insurance that I was wrong.
Oh, liability is in dispute.
Yeah, but then it was proven that he's
proven
wrong.
By who?
By his insurance.
Who proved? Are the police saying this? Because as far as I remember, the police don't actually say this. The police take the report and warn both parties that they may be prosecuted, and then they go along with the business. You and is that for the insurance companies then to haggle over everything?
Yeah.
But if liability is in dispute, in other words, if you are not willing to take the blame, or that person is not willing to take the blame, and then that's where the issue really goes on. What did you say?
I think the insurance company is willing to take the accepted liability, but they want us to be a part of the cause.
So they're saying it's shared liability. Fine. So you have decided to fight this by hiring a lawyer. All right. As soon as you hire an attorney, generally speaking, the insurance company no longer talks to you directly. They talk to your attorney. That's the general trend. That's the general trend. All right. But it's something that you have to keep on. You've hired an attorney, so you just keep calling your attorney and trying to get it solved. But
I strongly believe that some legal system should be set up to deal with insurance companies.
But, and I agree with you, because from the perspective that there needs to be some even greater regulation. Now, don't forget, there's already a regulatory body to deal with the insurance companies. There you have the Finance Services Commission, and there's somebody else.
I'm talking about a separate entity, you know.
Yeah, but you can't set up an entity for every little thing. You know, they must be more all-encompassing. But the whole thing about it is that when there is liability in doubt, when there's that, when everybody's claiming that they're not at fault, then you always have this delay. But yet there are always delays. And in my view, it's sometimes I think it's really totally unnecessary. Sometimes these insurance companies. But having said that, I would also say that the insurance companies, certainly there are cases that I am aware of where the insurance companies, recognizing that their clients were wrong, they quickly pay out. And, you know, and in one case, and I'm thinking of in particular, where a person was severely injured, recognizing that their client was wrong, the company, before even a settlement came up, they began to pay out thousands of dollars to ensure that the person was, their medical bills were taken care of. So it's, we can't paint the entire industry with the same brush. We really can't. But, you know, generally speaking, the industry does get a bad rap because they like to dot I's and cross T's. And if they can find a way not to to spend a cent, they will. But it's a business. That's what it is. Okay? Thank you very much for holding, sir. Yes, we're going to another call. You're on the air. Good
afternoon, Saika.
How are you today, sir?
No, well, to be honest, frustrated. This country got me so frustrated by that. It's funny. You pick up your telephone, you call. Very few government departments, and you can get a response from anybody. All you just get is musical cheers, like it's Christmas, phone ringing. You ever had that experience?
I just get it in about 5 days a week. And not only government departments, okay? Voicemail is, unfortunately, is an excuse for some people not to answer the telephone and deal with people directly. So they allow everything to go to voicemail, and they will call you back when they want to call you back, if ever that.
You call and leave messages. I called since Monday, Friday last week. Left a message with the technical director of the MTW. No response. Call back. No response. What are these people really doing? Are these here working or are these walking about?
Well, he would argue, he or she, I don't know, would argue that it is because they're working and they're busy working that you can't get them like that.
So would they leave a voicemail that you can left a message, you can left something for?
Well, they get back to you. That's the theory. That's the theory.
Right now, there's only two departments, in my opinion, that when you call, that you just get a response. You say National Insurance, I just get a response from National Insurance. I would say Water Authority. I just get a response from Water Authority. But you say the rest? No, I got a car left with the police. Just get a response from the police.
Actually, somebody here on the WhatsApp wrote that they get no response from the police, and that is very unfortunate. People should be thinking that.
No. Some person can answer the telephone. You're going to get an answer from the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get no response from them dealing with what we want them to deal with.
But don't forget, they also have to prioritize. I mean, in all fairness to the police, they have to prioritize all calls. And that's why when the constable or the whoever the attendant is that answers the telephone would ask you a number of questions. And based on your answer, then they prioritize it among the other calls that they would have. I mean, I remember many years ago, it was a situation where somebody died on the spot. And then there was, at that same day, there was a shooting. Well, it was actually a shooting. And the first one was a vehicular accident, the next one was a shooting. And the police, this was about 30 odd years ago. And let me finish the police, the ambulance people rushed to the scene, of course, of the shooting to get that person, because that person was alive. And nobody obviously came they came eventually to the other scene of the death. And I remember the police officer at the time says, but you know, Sanka, one person has been lost, and he can't go anywhere, and the person has been shot, so that person's living, so you have to look after the living first and the dead after. He didn't say it wasn't said in a cold, callous manner. It was not said in a cold, callous manner, but he just made me try to understand how you prioritize things. Somebody who's dead is not really going anywhere. They're dead.
I can agree with that.
So you have to look after the living first. The point I'm making to you is that you prioritize everything in terms of emergency and potential danger or potential harm to others involved. Yeah. And then other things like things that you may complain about that are not immediate or life-threatening, they will come further down the list, you know?
Some of the things that I personally might complain to the police about are life-threatening things. I don't get a response. I did document things, but I don't see none of that.
Well, but I'm not trying to make excuses for the police, but they are overwhelmed and they are short-handed. And as I said, they always prioritize. That is why some people do the unconscionable thing of making statements like shots fired or something like that. But, you know, and that is why they can also run into trouble for wasting police time too. But you really shouldn't do that. You should always be straight, and the police tend to respond. I really can't say anything less. The police have a thankless job, and they tend to respond. It may be a little slow, but they do respond. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, go on with your next issue.
No, Sanka. This issue with this squatting thing, this is my opinion, and I like to speak my opinion. This squatting thing can drive a lash in the Barbers Labour Party, like Cornwallis get hit. Because there are a lot on the ground. There are a lot of people that blue vets for what's going on. Blue vets. They are saying, I heard a young lady earlier on the radio was speaking about it, and I agree with she too, that you are rewarding people for wrongdoings. Sanka?
Yes, sir, I'm listening to you. You're making the point. I'm letting you make your point. You finished?
On the ground, boy, it is licks for them, here we go.
And because it is licks for them, does that mean that they should do what the public thinks is they should do, or they should do something that is reasonable, that would take into consideration the people who are involved, the squatters? I mean, look, people are vexed because these people getting a spot of land.
Freeness.
But it's not freeness. Because as Mark Williams was making the point, rightly so, that you're bringing these people into the system.
Yeah.
Okay? You are bringing these people in the system where the government, and this, it doesn't mean this administration, it means the administrations that would have taken over the several decades that where this problem developed. The government has allowed this problem to take place.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay? The government, therefore, has to solve it. You cannot throw these people off the land and say, to hell with you, you ain't supposed to be here, get off. And just bulldoze their houses, as somebody on the WhatsApp here said. And that is it. It can't happen that way. You will hear United Nations refugee people come in here. You hear all sorts of noise. I mean, you just can't treat human beings like that. You can't even treat a dog or cat like that.
Look, the Bahamas no treat some people there in Abaco.
But does that mean that we should continue the wrongdoing?
No, I'm not saying. I just show you.
But just because somebody did something that was wrong, doesn't mean that we should follow suit. We are civilized people, and we should do the right thing here. The right thing is to regularize these people. They will, from now on, will have to pay their taxes like everybody else. And those who are on the ground who are angry that these people getting away with murder, they're not getting away with murder. We need to regularize this situation. There's a lot of foolish things that happen in Barbados. And the people who are responsible for making sure that people don't build illegal structures and whatnot, they're not doing their jobs. Those are the people that we need to start dealing with. People who are supposed to be checking behind people to make sure they don't build illegal structures, those are the people who are going to start getting some licks. Those people may tell you they're not given the resources, they're not allowed to carry out their jobs, because when you go by somebody's house and that somebody is connected to the party in power, then they're stopped, and all these sort of issues come up. These are realities. So when you say A, God say B, you know? So really and truly, is one of those things.
Shop and save with these amazing discounts today only at Quartz. Get 15% off small appliances. Plus, shop today on credit, 24 to 36 months, and grab these great offers. 15% off 7-piece wooden dining sets and microwaves, 10% off fridges, and 10% off laptops. Remember, at Quartz, it's nothing down, nothing paid for 30 days. Special terms and conditions apply. Quartz, bringing value home.
Yes, sir. You're still there? Okay, you had to go. I'm sorry that we had to take that break, and we really had to take that break. Yes. Go to another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, go right in.
How you can hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, sorry. I am a young individual, and I always listen to Down to Brass Tacks. And I called to talk about the squatter situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe solutions should have empathy. You can never solve a problem without empathy. We can only understand a situation and see its solutions that we could put ourselves in these people's shoes. And I have here some stuff that should be taken. Research, find out where these squatters are, who they are, their financial situations, ages, career, and find a common ground. I find also, too, I used to work in real estate as an assistant scanner, and I find that a lot of Barbadians are not educated about real estate and land laws, but for those who are really interested at this moment, they can go to the government printery, and they have laws there that they will give you a copy, or they will ask is for a small fee. And I would advise the ministry to please take advantage of social media and radio and educate Barbadians about owning land, real estate, rules and regulations, all these sort of things, because it's sad that the outsiders come, the outside people come and know these things, and they have a higher advantage, not because they have money only, but because they have education about land and real estate. Offer a land deal or a rent-to-own deal to the squatters, because $25,000 is like $250 in real estate, real thing. That could hardly get you anywhere when you're building a home, because already materials here in Barbados is expensive, land expensive, and you need to guide these people when it comes to buying land and how to build and everything like that, especially if you're getting on such a small budget. So you can't just get them money and be like, oh, do this and that. You got to guide them along the way, because you need to teach these people, as they say, give a man a fish, eat for a day, teach a man a fish, he could live for a very long time. And pool resources. If these squatters have family, my family did it. We pool our resources together. We bought some land in St. Lucie, and we live very close together. We didn't want to be independent, because in these times, you can't survive on your own. You need a community to live. And it would be great if people could pool together with friends or family, the resources, and go and buy a nice half acre or something that could fit three houses and call it our day. And I tell government, if they got time or whatever, they could. As for the island, St. Lucie have a lot of vacant land. A lot. And I think it could really help benefit a lot of people. And not people see St. Lucie as far, but any these days, it can be a beggar and a chooser, because things are so scarce. And if you're lucky to get land, you're blessed, because land price is going up, paycheck is not going up, and you have to be smart. And I know these days everybody bought money and not really having empathy, but greed has just caused more problems. And that's all I really got to say on the situation.
Thank you very, very much for your contribution. And I really hope that everyone listened to you and would act on what you said. Thank you so very much. You're on Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I wanted to talk about the whole squatter situation, but I don't think I have enough time. The other thing that I nearly called about was with regard to the whole coronavirus. I am not sure if everyone is aware that this thing has an incubation period of something like 2 weeks, meaning that a visitor to the island could come in, show no symptoms, I mean like no fever, nothing at all, and be spreading the virus all the while. Do you know if we have plans in place of taking our citizens out of China?
I am not sure about that.
All right. Let me just say, and I know they have diplomats and that sort of thing, and the diplomats are like friends with people in government and so on. I don't think it is worth the risk of infecting the Asian population. You know, I mean, it's part of the job. You know, you get benefits and that sort of thing. You know, I'd have to say you got to take one for the team. I would like to think that we will be looking at protecting the population of Barbados from this thing by, you know, it's unfortunate to say, it sounds cruel, but those that are in China should stay there until this thing is, you know, we got to fix on it. But at this point in time, you know, to just put the rest of the population at risk by bringing, you know, our people back right now, I don't think it's the best thing. I know, what do you think?
Sir, there was this news item from Jamaica where the Jamaican government was saying they don't want any of their citizens to travel to China, and those there should stay there. And I said to myself, geez, you know, yes, it is the practical thing to say and to do, but when you think about it, it's really difficult to ask a mother or parents or relatives. Just listen to me a second. To let your child, that you would want to let your child stay in a situation like that and not want to have them near you. And these are some of the issues that people will face, you know?
It's not just a matter of seeing it. I mean, you understand that this thing could ink. Because you, before showing any symptoms at all, you could be spreading this thing to the population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your point is well taken. Your point is well taken. Well taken. Sir, we got a break for the latest. I have Stetson Bab here looking at me. He's about to, ready to read the news. But if you want to talk about the squatters, you can stay on the line while we take a break, okay? So just stay on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break for the latest, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Anchor Price along with Michelle Brathwaite, and we'll be with you until 2 o'clock. Sir, are you still on the line? Oh, okay. He went off. He wanted to make a point about the fire service or the squatters. I'm not really sure. You know, I've got a lot of callers, so instead of going to the WhatsApp, listen to me go to the callers first. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
How are you today, sir?
Fine.
Good.
I'm fine. I'm not the one with the fire service or anything.
I know.
Mm-hmm. But as it relates, let me commiserate the West Indies youth team for losing to New Zealand. That's commiserations. And now I have been hearing persons say that I leave messages on the voicemail of various ministries and sometimes government and sometimes private departments. Mm-hmm. Now, I can remember last year I called a ministry which I should put nameless on the minister's secretary. Got to go through the secretaries. And up until this year, I have not had a response. So, you know, it is a little frustrating because they never knew what you want to talk to them about. And sometimes even if the message you want to talk to them about, it doesn't reach the authority that should go to. The other thing is that you made mention of the whole question of the challenge in China with that virus. I've been hearing on the BBC that British Airways have suspended all flights going into China. And that isn't by accident. That's by design. And therefore, for us to say, or for you to say, that was your point, that we should try to, they should not stop business from happening near the whole of China now, because one must recognize that in now about 13 countries, according to the BBC, that the virus has now spread it to. I know I heard a youngster on the BBC this morning from somewhere in Africa was being interviewed by the BBC, and he was saying that he now wears 3 masks because all he can do is to go from his room, his university room, down to the market, and when he sees somebody walk on the left side of the road, he goes to the right side, and vice versa. And it is very traumatic that all he has to do is come in his room and sit down and try to do something to keep his mind occupied because he cannot go, so not even down the hallway to visit anybody. So it is foolhardy to think that you would want people to come home, given that gestation period of 14 days. And somebody did make a very good comment about it, because if you come back out of China or any of those other places that have the virus that is growing in those places, and you come back to Barbados or even get on the plane, for example, you do not know if that person has that virus. So it would be good for us and for all the people to keep those persons in China grounded for the time being, as the Chinese government has determined that some persons in some provinces provinces will not be able to travel out of that province because there's no transportation, there's no bus transportation, there's no train transportation, and certainly there's no air transportation because they're trying to shut down the virus. So I would hate to see somebody from there come to Barbados, this 166 square miles, and then they have to put them in incubation period and they walk around the place. They've put them in incubation for 14 days. They have to go into 14 days to make sure that the virus is not will not be able to pass on or to get rid of the virus. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see that.
Can I respond to you?
You certainly may respond to the whole world.
Okay. Because I'm looking here at the report on CNN right now. It was issued about 19 minutes ago, where airlines based in North America, I'm reading the report, airlines based in North America, Europe, and Asia are canceling flights to China as authorities there seek to contain the spread of the Wuhan coronavirus. British Airways, United Airlines, American Airlines, Air Asia, Cathay Pacific, Air India, Lufthansa, and Finnair have announced plans to slash the number of flights they are operating to China or stop flying to the country entirely. Other airlines are offering customers refunds on flights to China. Airlines are taking action as the deadly coronavirus continues to spread. The virus has killed 132 people and infected over 6,000 people in China so far, with dozens more cases confirmed in places such as the United States, Japan, Germany, and France. British Airways, which is owned by International Airlines Group, said Wednesday that it has suspended all direct flights between Britain and China with immediate effect after the UK Foreign Office warned against all but essential travel to China. I wouldn't read any more here. But
I heard that at 3 o'clock this morning on the BBC. Yeah, so but it's a very serious virus. It's got to be on our P's and Q's.
And I still maintain what I said earlier. My main contention.
Go ahead.
My main contention is that we cannot panic. That's the first thing.
Agreed.
When the airlines take this decision, and that's why, as soon as you said it, I went straight to my phone and Google to find out exactly. When they have made that decision, it means that the governments within those countries have determined that we have a situation where we really cannot control this thing. We don't know how this thing is coming at us. And we have to take that action.
Agreed.
Okay? So it has reached that point. Now, when I said what I said, and I still maintain what I said, is that panicking solves nothing. In fact, there I don't have it in front of me here, but there was somebody from the Center of Disease Control, the CDC, was making the point that shutting down the cities in Wuhan province, then there were like 14 cities closed down, 35 million people on the lockdown. That what this does is that it can create a problem for the Chinese, in that some people who want to get out of that province, and someone who may even be infected, would somehow get out, and then it would spread even further, because you can't literally shut down a place and don't expect people to try to escape. You have to manage it a little better than that. That is what this professor was the point he was making. I understand the shutdowns, and I understand that given the logistics that may be involved on the ground, that sometimes you may be able to literally seal a place off. But human beings always find a way out. But that is the way that we normally react. We did that, that was done in terms of dealing with the Ebola virus and SARS and other viruses, other major viruses that came up, bird flu, all those types of things. So I understand the problem, but as I said, we cannot panic. If the airlines have taken this decision, that means the situation really has come to the point where the governments of most of those large countries have decided, well, hey, they can't manage this thing properly. And based on that, well, then we know that we too should take similar action. Because if they can't handle it, then we are even less able to handle it.
I am in complete agreement with that. Okay. I mean, I am complete agreement with that. Mm-hmm. So I rest my case there for this time. Thank you, my friend. And do have a blessed afternoon.
And thanks for raising it. Great point. Thank you very much. Huh? We're in Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sankapari.
How are you today, sir?
This is my friend, Puma, by Market Heights.
Good.
I sort of live in a kind of optimistic way, but I am somewhat under some serious thing here after hearing Dr. Lachman. I'll go on to that. serious concern with that thing of the threat of the earthquake, I think. But let me commend you before I go any further. Your rationale has come up to the fore very, very vividly today. Now, pray tell me, what other explanation could you give other than say the squatters? I never touched the squatter situation. But pray tell me, you're going to displace them, put them in the road to stand up. What were you to say? What would the government expect it to do? Pray tell me. There are any X amount of squatters. Okay. You cannot go and bulldoze the place. You cannot tell them all y'all left out here. and just leave them as a social situation. Now, that lady, I must commend her also, the lady that says she does scanning, land scanning for the...
Yes, very good contribution.
Extremely good. Now, it is, you know what I want to commend this government for? They're stopping the slide. Somebody would have had to bite the bullet and come and say, let me stop this here now. Now, in stopping it, you can't just stop it and say, well, it will correct itself. So you have got to put in your input in regard to fortifying these people. I don't know what else they would expect you to come and say. I don't know what else they would expect a government to do. It's foolhardy to think anything other than what you've said. I mean, I don't want to be overly emotional, but it's, it borders on stupidity to think otherwise.
There's a cost for making things right.
Yes.
Okay, and if so, government is trying to make things right as far as the Rock House quarters concerned. There's a
all
cost.
The quarters, really.
There's a cost for that.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm maintaining that having made this step, I'm proceeding along this line. They also need to put measures in place where they identify the other areas. And as I said in the last Auditor General's report, a number of areas, Murphy's Pasture in the city and a few other areas were identified where there are squatters. They also need to deal with those areas. They also need to look at their crown lands and make sure they have an inspectorate going around to nip any new problem in the bud. Okay?
Well put.
So it's not just... So I commend the government for making this move. And I'm telling you, as a Bajan, a taxpayer, I ain't happy about it either, but you have got to make this wrong thing right. So you can't deal with it any other way. I don't see any other reason, any other avenue, any other option. Okay? So they're making this situation right, but they also need to put an inspectorate in place, or if one is already in place, beef it up to make sure that this foolishness does not continue so that people who pay their taxes don't feel unfair. This is simple.
But hold on, here's the list. We are not ignoring that there are a myriad of persons out there wanting to get housing, and land, etc. That's not the discussion, though. We're not saying to take those people thing to no consideration or anything. That's not the case. But the government is in a predicament. If some government don't set in and do something, this will go on forever, and it would be a Herculean thing to get it done later down the road too. So I it's a proper move, and I am satisfied that it is a thoughtful move, and there was no other way. Somebody was talking about political fallout. If you tackle this and tackle it badly, it will be political fallout. I don't know if is this what I'm saying. The political fallout will come with if you tackle this and tackle it badly. But I don't think anybody with any reasoning would think that if you're going to start to look at the situation there, that you can't do it other than assisting those persons. So that's very, very clear. Now, quick on the, let me speak to you on the thing with that Haitian thing. When I tell you that I'm okay with room for improvement, but I'm all right. It has been etched in my mind. Don't forget, in Haiti, I think Dr. Lachman made the point of over 400,000 people went down in Haiti. That's no play thing to have in your mind and to explain. Dr. Gupta from the CNN, see him working expeditions around the clock. Some night he was there on the thing by himself, catering to persons with injury or kind of thing. Now, a threat of an earthquake of this magnitude would bring persons to the stark reality. I accept the Lord. Keep the city, the watchman and watching event, and we are hoping and praying that God will protect the Caribbean and all the whatever, but you still got to keep it real. If this should take place, this is a point now for people to reconcile and come to think, because, I mean, when an earthquake strikes, it is wherever you are, that's it there for you. You're from away from your wife, your children, your mother, everybody's an individual, or if they're in a couple of people together. But it's unfortunate. Earthquakes is something that would devastate any country and lick up countries. So we hope that it won't ever transfer, but we will have to place it in the hands of the Creator and say, well, whatever can be done. We are praying and asking to avert whatever would be on the horizon coming. And that is so much for that earthquake thing.
Okay, and you certainly have to hold on for at least 5 minutes because we are going to take a break here with ICAP. And so please stay with us and we'll be right back.